Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Raven Nasirial Radio. This is your girl, Raven Nasirial Poet, coming to bring to y'all another night of entertainment. Y'all know how I get down. It's only the realest feel on the end of the spectrum, you know what I'm saying? So, tonight is night 12 of the 31 days of horror. Now, I know, y'all like... Raven, what you gonna do? Like, you just gonna play scary stuff all the rest of this month? 31 days. You gonna get scary stories to the end of the month. Ain't no in-between. No, I'm not doing nothing extra. No, I'm not doing nothing different or anything. This is my month to do some eerie, sinister, menacing, scary ass shit. You don't like it, it's cool. You don't have to listen. Go listen to some mediocre shit. But if you wanna, you know, get your hair raised and goosebumps branded into your skin, call in. The number is 914-205-5813. That number is 914-205-5813. I ain't gonna continue to hold y'all. We gonna get into these eerie, terrifying tales of mass abortion. So let's get it.
I think this is the right subreddit for this. It only happened a couple days ago, and I really feel like I want to tell people because I'm still scared. My husband works a rotating schedule, so sometimes he works the night shift, and other times he works the days. 2 days ago, he started on his night shift rotation. I always feel uneasy at home when he's not here, even though I live in the country, and it's supposed to be a lot safer out here. Around 9:30 Friday night, I was doing my dishes. My daughter was watching TV, and my dogs were sleeping. I had just turned off the sink, and I heard the screen door open. It makes a swish kind of noise when it opens and closes. We have a little entryway between the screen door and the main door. A couple seconds after I hear the screen door, I saw the main door handle turn all the way down. It has an electric keyboard lock, so the handle turns even when it's locked. I feel so lucky that I remember to lock it. Immediately, the dogs start acting weird. They're running to all the windows, trying to look out, and growling and barking. As much as I didn't want to, I looked out the window and saw nothing. No person, no car, nothing. I picked up my daughter and took her to the bedroom and called 911. It only took a few minutes for the cops to get there because I guess they were already in the area. I told them what happened and they looked around briefly and told me that the wind opened the screen door and no one was out there. Whatever. I live in the woods. The person was probably standing 100 feet away watching them half-assed search. I haven't felt safe since. I've even started locking the screen door. It's not like the house looked empty. All the lights were on, and the TV was playing a show. I can't even describe the deep-down fear I felt when I saw the door handle turn. I'm glad the dogs are very vocal and scary-sounding. I think it deterred the person from trying any harder to get in. I was backing up photos on my phone today, and I found some which took place the day of the incident. I gave it some thought and decided, why not share it here, being anonymous and all that. Maybe this can serve as a PSA of sorts. Always trust your gut feeling. Last year, I was living by myself at the time, before my partner and I moved in together. For some background, my partner used to work very hectic shifts. Sometimes he finished at 5 p.m., sometimes 6, and sometimes even 9. And he would let me know if he was dropping by that day, though he usually wouldn't be able to give me a time, but at least I knew he would be coming by. It was around 8 p.m., and I was upstairs in my bedroom, working on my embroidery project. I had AirPods on, so I wasn't too aware of what was going on around me. I remember feeling the bed rattle. My bedroom was right above the front door. So whenever someone closed the door, seeing that it was old and heavy, it always rattled my bed frame. This would usually indicate my partner has arrived. I didn't immediately go downstairs to greet him, as I really wanted to finish off the piece of embroidery that I was working on. It was about 5 minutes before I took out my AirPods and proceeded to make my way out of my bedroom and onto the stair landing. I was about to call out for him when I realized he didn't leave his work jacket or work boots in the entry. He knew full well I don't like shoes, especially work boots, all over my carpet and floors. I assumed I must have imagined feeling my bed shake. I went back into my bedroom and was about to put my AirPods back in when I distinctively heard a big crash coming from downstairs. It sounded like something heavy was dropped. I freaked out and called my boyfriend's name down from the bedroom doorway. I got no reply, but I sure as hell started hearing heavy footsteps pacing towards the entryway. My gut feeling was that something here was very wrong. I turned to grab my phone from the bed and bolted to the bathroom, which is the only room in this house that has a lock. I called the police as I started hearing those same heavy footsteps make their way up the stairs. I've never, ever been scared of those creaking sounds coming from the stairs, but it was different then. At the time, it felt as if I never heard a scarier sound. As I was on the phone with the police, the only thing I could tell the lady on the phone was my address over and over again. I was more focused on how I was going to get out of there. I wasn't going to wait to see what would happen or who this person was, so I flung open the small bathroom window and feet first slid down onto the lower roof. My adrenaline was so high. I momentarily put my phone into my bra as I had no pockets and needed both hands. I just remember hearing the police dispatcher keep asking over and over again if I'm okay and what was happening. I didn't even have the time to tell her what I was doing. It felt as though my body had gone on autopilot. Once on the bottom roof, I lowered myself again, now onto the pavement. As I fell, right onto my knees no less, I got up and bolted it down the street. It was completely dark, with it being mid-October. The dispatcher was still on the phone when I finally got on it again, and I told her while running that there was someone in my home and how I just jumped out the window to get away. I ran for what felt like forever until the lady on the phone said to focus on finding a shop where I could get into and wait for the police. I remembered my boyfriend and I told the lady I needed to call him. I made my way into the gas station by then and thought she wanted to keep me on the phone. I said I needed to make sure that my partner didn't go into my home and potentially risk running into the other person. I got in contact with my partner, who had just finished up work. It was around 9 p.m. by then, and he was currently driving to my house. I told him what happened, and instead, he started heading to the shop where I was. I felt such relief when he got here. I remember taking a picture of my scratched up knees when I got into the car. For some reason, I got very fixated on them. My partner called the police back for me, as the shock was setting in then, and he let them know he was with me. It took some time before the police finally arrived at my home. I was told my front door was left wide open, and in the living room, the side table had been knocked over. My house wasn't ransacked, but it did look as though someone had booked it out of there relatively quickly. Upstairs, my bedroom door was kicked in so hard that the frame itself was indented, though nothing was stolen. Once I looked over the place, I was called and told I could return. A call to the ambulance crew was called, and they looked me over. They sorted out my knee and did some sort of assessment to see if I was okay mentally, and told me to go see my doctor the next morning about my knees. Reports and statements were written up, and I stayed with my boyfriend for 2 weeks after that. I had to hire someone to fix my doorframe, along with having a security system installed, as I don't think I would be able to return without it. They never found out who this man was. My neighbors had cameras, and all we ever figured out about this person was that he was a man who just walked right into my home like it was his, no hesitation. My front door was unlocked, as I was expecting my partner to arrive soon. I live in a very safe village, and leaving the door unlocked is a common occurrence, though I've never left it unlocked since. I still live here, with my partner and two dogs now. The man has never been back, though we have quite obvious cameras around the property, along with a visible security company signage. This was easily the most terrifying experience I've ever had in my life. It's so hard to describe or tell to people. It's like I wasn't in control of my own body when this was happening. Autopilot went on, and all I knew is I had to get out of there. I live in a small town. You blink and you miss it. The best we can boast about is a single stop sign and a gas station, which we only have because of a nearby highway. Any actual semblance of a town is 25 minutes away. So when things get scary out here, it amplified. The occasional homeless person is no big deal. They're often drifting through. Drug addicts run rampant and will steal everything they can from your house. However, what happened a few years ago certainly wasn't normal. Originally, I was dead asleep in my bed. I only woke up because it was burning hot in my room. But it was summertime, and there's not much I could do. I just remember tossing and turning until I got a creepy feeling that fell in the pit of my stomach. I glanced over at the bathroom door, and it was open with a light on. Everything was normal. I left the light on so I wouldn't trip and die if I had to go pee in the middle of the night. Next, I glanced at the window directly across from my bed. I had no curtains, but I did have a shitty set of blinds. Part of the blinds were broken from wear and tear, and the crappy AC output beneath it would make the blinds move back and forth so you could get a glimpse outside every so often. The yard light was still on, but what made me stop was the outline at my window. The figure of someone was directly at my window, almost like it was waiting for the blinds to move to watch me. I didn't have an imagination as a child. That had been trained out of me, but the sight was enough to pour every horror film into my head at the moment. I squeezed my eyes shut and pulled the blanket over my head and slept in the closet oven that night. By morning time, the figure was gone. I remember running to my mom's room on the verge of tears in the morning, telling her what happened. She laughed at me like I was an idiot and told me that it was probably a stray cat that had climbed up there for one odd reason or another. I almost believed her since the window was pretty high off the ground, but something didn't sit right. Later that day when we were doing yard work, I glanced at my window and saw one of our metal chairs had been pushed up to it. I pointed out to my mom, who proceeded to chew me out. "That's how the cat probably got there, you moron. Stop leaving furniture everywhere." But I hadn't moved it. It was heavy enough that I struggled with it, so we move it back and so begins a pattern. At night, I'd see the figure, complain to my mom, and we would find the chair moved back every single morning. This went on for a few weeks. My mother stopped caring about my concerns until one morning when we saw the outside screen of my window had been sliced open. I still remember her shaking her head and complaining about those damn stray cats that we had still yet to see. I could tell she was unnerved by the development. I couldn't handle anymore, and I opted to sleep in the living room that night. The only problem was the kitchen and living room connected, which meant there were always several windows. The first night of my move went well despite my back hurting from the couch. I avoided my room like the plague. It wasn't until 4 days later that we ran into an issue. I woke up and glanced up at the clock above the fireplace. It read a little past 3 a.m. I didn't realize why I had woken up until it happened again. There was a beam of light shining from the kitchen window, almost like someone was shining a flashlight in. I saw it trace along the walls and land on the love seat across from the couch I was on. I was mortified. When I told my mom, she continued to laugh at me. I gave in and decided I would sleep in my dad's room, even though they had a gigantic window. He slept in a recliner with a huge TV, so I felt more safe having someone around. The yard light was directly outside the window, and it always seemed foolproof. That's until I woke up out of fear and watched through the window across from the bed. Everything seemed normal as time drove on, and I felt like a moron. Maybe my mom was right. That was until I saw a long figure come out of the woods by my backyard shed, walk directly under the light, and head to the patio furniture, like he had been there plenty of times. I still remember the large build the man had, and the confidence like he was the one who lived there and wasn't creeping around my yard in the dead of the night. I just remember listening to the TV until I fell asleep again, hoping to get another glimpse. My dad would have been pissed if I woke him up. He was grumpy on a good day, and terrifying on a bad. I didn't feel like risking it unless I had solid proof because I was scared. The next morning, my mom chewed me out again for leaving the patio furniture, which was a routine almost a month later. But this time, something new happened. She demanded I stop playing in the toolbox of the garage. A bunch of tools had been taken out and left on our doorstep. Screwdrivers, a large hammer, flashlights, etc. It wasn't me. I begged and pleaded with my mom just to stay with me one night. We couldn't close our garage because it was a carport, and I wasn't going to get my ass beaten for touching tools because of someone else. It was driving me mad. Finally, she agreed. That night, she would stay awake in the living room. I finally fell asleep before my mom did, but I remember her waking me up in a panic. She pointed to the window that overlooked into our garage. We see the top of someone's head as they walked back and forth. There was a sound of someone placing metal tools down by the brick steps, as if they were trying to be quiet, but couldn't fully muffle it. She whispered for me to wake up my dad. My dad was angry, having been woken up in the middle of the night by his frantic daughter. He grabbed his pistol and headed out from the back door towards the front of the house where the garage was. We heard my dad screaming and someone dropping tools, then the shot of the gun twice. The frantic footsteps pounding from the garage felt like they were coming from my chest. My mom peeked out the window, then opened the door, and then my dad stumbled in. He had missed both shots because of his unstable aim, but told us there was a man crouching at our front door looking at the door handle. None of us slept that night, and in the morning, the law from the closest town arrived. They didn't do much besides ask if anything had been stolen, and for a description of the man. Then they told us to install cameras. That was it. They said the guy was probably just looking for some easy things to steal, for quick money. If that had been the case, why hadn't he stolen the tools, the generator, the welder, or broken into any of the vehicles, just sitting in the garage? We finally set up hunting trail cameras around the house, but nothing's happened since. Coming home from college on holidays, I still have nightmares about that incident years later when I sleep in my own bed. I don't know what he was looking for, or why he did these things. Whatever the case may be, man at my window, let's not meet. So I'm a female living alone in a fairly safe apartment complex. I live on the 5th floor. On my floor, there's only my apartment, my neighbors, and a laundry room that had a washer and a dryer. I know most of the tenants in my building, except for my neighbor. He's only been living here for a week. I only know his name, but never talked to him. Only know that he's an older guy from talking to another neighbor. So around 8 tonight, someone rang my doorbell. Through the peephole, I saw a guy standing in front of my door, like mid-40s. I thought that's probably my neighbor. It's normal in our complex to go introduce yourself, so I thought that's what he wanted. I only opened the door a bit, you never know, and left the chain on. He saw me and smiled and said, "Hi," but didn't say anything after that. I was already a bit confused, so I just said, "Hi, how can I help you?" He introduced himself as Bruno. Didn't say that he was my neighbor or anything, and I didn't say anything either. After a few seconds, he said, "Don't be afraid, I don't bite." I was ready to yeet the door closed, because what the fuck? If someone tells you not to be afraid of him, there's definitely something to be afraid of. But before I could close it, he came really close to the door, almost squeezing his head in the gap. I should have slammed the door in his face at that point, but I was kind of shocked. Before I could do anything, he asked, "Did you do this to my laundry?" "What? Did you do this to my laundry?" At this point, I was super confused. I told him I don't know what he's talking about. He said something along the lines of, "Well, come and have a look," and pointed to the laundry room. At that point, I noped the fuck out and slammed the door shut, double locked it, and called my boyfriend. I saw the guy stand in front of my door for at least another minute through the peephole before he finally left down the stairs. He didn't seem angry or anything. He just had this weird, blank expression on his face. My boyfriend drove over to my place immediately. He checked for cars outside the complex, checked the stairwell, but didn't find the guy. We went back for the laundry he was talking about, but there weren't any. I know he didn't take it with him because I saw him leave without any, and looked through the peephole the whole time till my boyfriend arrived. He asked me if I knew the guy, and I told him that initially I thought it was my neighbor, but wasn't sure. He went to ring the neighbor's doorbell, and I watched him through the door, and the guy that opened the door definitely wasn't the guy that rang my doorbell. He also didn't know anyone that matched the description. Honestly, this whole thing creeps me out so much. Like, what would have happened if I went with this guy into the laundry room? This happened a bit over a year ago, when I was 17, flatting with some friends. One night, we were all drinking and smoking weed in our flat, doing what normal teens do. I decided it was time to go to sleep. I collapsed on my bed at about 10 p.m., forgetting to close my curtains. Hours later, I woke up facing my window, since my bed is alongside it. Our fence is only a couple meters from my window, and next to our house we have an electronics store with a little shed attached to it that is almost right against the fence. Anyways, as I'm lying there, I notice something black on top of the shed. Since I'm still half asleep, I assume it's a cat, but as my eyes adjust, I take a longer look. I realize it's too big to be a cat. Suddenly it moves, and I realize it's a person sitting on the wall. I didn't think much of it, thinking they were probably having a smoke or something. So I get up and walk out of my room to get a drink of water. Two of my flatmates were still up, watching a movie. I tell them that someone was sitting out on the shed. They say, I must be imagining it, and I should go back to bed. I get my drink, check the time, it's 3 a.m. I must be imagining it. Why would someone be out there at this time? I walk back down the hall to my bedroom, sure that I had imagined it. But as I walk into my doorway, I get the shock of my life. The person has now stood up and is standing on the fence directly in the middle of my window, only a few meters away from me. I can see it's a tall, skinny man, all in black, with a hood, and he stood there motionless, staring at me. I stare back, frozen for a second, before finding my feet and running into my flatmate's room, which is next to mine. Her window and curtains were both open, but I can't see the man from her window. I wake her up and tell her what happened. It takes her a while to wake up enough to understand what I'm saying. Finally, she gets it, and I ask her to come back into my room. She agrees, and we both slowly peep around the doorway to see the man still standing at the same spot. We both freaked out and ran into the lounge to tell our other flatmates. They finally believed us and followed us to the room. At first, we can't see anything. The man is gone. But then I see him. He had walked down the fence and is now standing outside the lounge window. We all stand there and stare at him for what seems like an eternity. He doesn't move at all. Finally, one of the flatmates walks over to close the curtains. The second they do, we hear the man jump down. We all run outside, but it's too late, he's gone. The next night, I climbed onto the shed just to see how much of my room could be seen, and to my horror, you could see everything in my room clear as day. It still gives me the creeps just thinking about how long he was up there, and he could see me sleeping. We did report it to the cops, but never heard anything back, and I've never seen that man again. This summer, I decided to pick up some graveyard shifts at my current full-time job. Simply, it pays me more, and I'm a university student drowning in student debt. About 2 weeks ago, on a rare occasion that I got to sleep during the same time the sun is down, at 3:30 or 4 a.m., I was suddenly woken up by a loud sound. Me being half asleep, I honestly didn't know what the sound was exactly. I just chopped it up to being my neighbors dropping something, because I live in an apartment with very thin walls. So I was just trying to go back to sleep. After about 10 minutes of me laying there with my eyes closed, I hear the sound again, but this time I'm pretty much awake, so I realize what the sound is immediately. Someone was knocking on my window. For context, I'm a single female living alone in the basement suite, so my windows are basically level with the sidewalk. Anyways, obviously I'm freaked out. I don't know what the heck to do. I don't want to move or make any loud noises, as I don't want them to know I'm home. I'm just frozen, laying in this bed. I hear the knocking again. I instantly bolt up as my fight or flight kicks in, and I run to the front door, which has my keys and my pepper spray on it. The keys clink together and make a noticeable noise, and the knocking starts to get more intense and loud. This is when I realize the window with the screen by my bed is almost all the way open, because my cat likes to sit on the edge, and I forgot to close it and lock it. I start to freak out already, having major anxiety. I start looking for my phone just in case I need to call the police. Me being clumsy and shaking from my anxiety, I drop my phone on the ground. Whoever's at my window proceeds to do what sounds like sliding his fingernails or a sharp object down the screen. I realize this person's intentions are either to come in or to scare me. So like a fucking idiot and not thinking, I run to the window as fast as I can. I slam it shut and lock it while avoiding looking outside at whatever it was. The knocking stops and I wait about 30 minutes without hearing any knocking. I lay back down and go right back to sleep. The next morning, I honestly couldn't even believe that happened to me. I started to think that maybe it was a dream. I go outside to investigate and see an empty beer bottle and a ripped blanket. I text my only friend who knows where I live and ask them if they're fucking with me. They said no, which I figured because they don't drive and live quite far away. The buses around my house stopped running well before 3 a.m. So I called my landlord and told him what happened. He says to ignore it, and this happened before, which is fucking creepy. I obviously recognize now that I should have done things a lot differently and called the police right away. It hasn't happened since, nevertheless, still super terrifying. I can't afford to move again, so creepy bro knocking on my window, let's not meet again. So this whole thing began maybe 2 months ago. At an aunt's party, my sister comes up to me and says that she thinks someone has been coming into her house in the middle of the night. My sister has always been easily scared, so at first, I was skeptical. I asked her how she knew someone was coming into her house, whether she had actually seen anyone, etc. She told me that she hadn't seen anyone, but she knows for a fact that someone was in her house. She then went on to explain that she has a skybox downstairs, so whatever channel the TV's on downstairs is the same in her bedroom. I still didn't really buy what she was saying, but she seemed generally afraid. She claimed it had been going on for 3 months, on and off. To put her mind at ease, I told her that I'll stay at her place for a few nights and wait to see if the guy comes. I took my younger brother along just to be safe. In all, we stayed at her place for 4 nights. In those 4 nights, nothing unusual happened. My brother and I were convinced that she was going crazy. My brother and I decided we had stayed long enough and told her that we had to go home. She got extremely upset about this. I reassured her and told her to call the police next time it happened. She had called the police once before about the guy, and when the police came, they found no one in the house. I said that she could call me anytime she wanted and left for work. 2 days later, she called me at 11:30 p.m. and claimed that he was downstairs in her house right now. I asked her how she knew, and she said he's walking around the house. She was whispering and crying. I knew she wasn't making this up. I could tell in her voice. I called my brother and told him to meet me at her house. I was on the phone with her the entire drive over to her place. I live about 10 minutes away. When I got there, my brother was parked outside. We both went to the back of the house. I was still on the phone with my sister. The first floor of the house was lit solely by the TV in the living room. As we approached the patio door, we saw a man sitting on the couch facing us. We were frozen solid, and my sister noticed that we went quiet and started asking us what was wrong and if we could see him. I told her to stay quiet and that we had it in hand. I then hung up the phone and called the police to explain the situation. The guy hadn't moved from the couch at all. The TV turned off when we were waiting for the cops. My brother and I majorly freaked out when that happened. We couldn't see anything downstairs. Then the hallway light turned on, meaning someone was on the stairs. We opened the patio door and ran up the stairs and caught the guy with his ear to her door. We kicked the shit out of him and got my sister out of the house. He had a knife in his coat pocket. The cops came maybe 10 minutes later. He could have killed her if he wanted to, which was outrageous. It turns out this guy was one of my mom's old boyfriends who had lived with us for a while in the 90s. He had been fond of my sister, but we never suspected it to be him. He hadn't contacted any of us in nearly a decade. My sister has moved back in with my mom and is undergoing therapy to get over what happened. Our stepdad, as he liked to call himself, was given 3 years in prison. We are doing our best to cut all ties with this man. This happened quite a few years ago, but I'll never forget it. One summer around 3 a.m., someone came pounding on my front door. Things were peaceful until that moment. "Let me in, hurry, open the door. I don't have a gun, I won't hurt you." The whole time pounding on the door. My dad got up and went to answer the door, and something in me said not to let him in, so I stopped him. Instead, I turned on the porch light, and Dad said, "Wait there, I'll call the police for you." The guy took off. The police were still called. Apparently, that person had been running around the area doing the same thing to other people. They were caught the next day. I was in my bedroom, studying for college finals late in the evening. I was short on time and feeling a bit stressed. The landline phone rang in my bedroom, and I answered. A man says,
I have been watching you, and I know you're alone. I'm going to ask you some questions, and you are going to answer them. If you don't, my friends and I are just down the street, and I will come to hurt you very badly. So are you going to answer my questions?
This was such a surprise. In reflex, I said, buddy, I don't have the time for this shit. And I slammed the phone down, hanging it up. I then started thinking about what he said and felt a bit scared. I knew I wasn't alone in the house. I decided to hang out with my parents in the living room for a while. I felt safer with them. So this happened about 4 years ago. My dad works nights, so I'm home alone until about 2:30 in the morning most days. We live in a pretty quiet area, where people usually keep to themselves. One night, about 1 in the morning, there was a knock on the door, and when I checked the peephole, there was a young woman with a car parked near the curb in front of our house. I answered, and she looked really young, maybe 15 or 16, or just looked very youthful. In short, she looked like she was barely old enough to be driving. She told me that she was having car troubles and asked if I could come check it out and possibly give her a jump. At the time, I didn't drive, have my own car, or know very much about cars, so I was of little help, but offered to call someone if she needed AAA or a tow service. She declined, but kept on insisting that I check out her lights on her dashboard to see if it was normal. At this point, I just didn't want to go outside with a stranger. So I politely informed her that I would be little to no help because I had zero knowledge of cars. I went back inside but kept looking through the peephole. She opened the back door, got in the back seat, and the car drove off. Instantly, it made my stomach drop and had me extremely freaked out. I was kind of distraught, thinking about the real reason she approached my house, who was driving, and it left me confused and frightened. I spent the next few days a little on edge because I was afraid they may return knowing that someone is in here or that I was alone. I also think of the girl and who she was. I wish I had a video doorbell at the time so I could find out if she was a victim of some sort. I don't know. It still bothers me a lot and it's eerie as hell. A few months ago, I was sitting on my porch, enjoying a peaceful afternoon. I live out in the country, my closest neighbors being over a mile away, just my dog and I, watching squirrels run across the dirt road. About mid-afternoon, a fellow stops out by the road and asks to enter my yard. I wave him in, seems like a decent enough guy. As he approached the steps, my dog moved to block him. The dog was growling lowly, and his hair was standing up on his back. This was unusual. The man asked if he would bite. I replied, he's meaner than hell. He isn't mean and has never bit anyone, but this guy doesn't need to know that. So he stands in my yard and introduces himself as the son of my neighbor down the road. He has moved back home to live with his mom, who is getting up in age. We make pleasant small talk back and forth, my dog staying between us. He doesn't take his eyes off the stranger. He isn't growling, but the hair on his back is still standing. This puts me on edge as well. I bid him a good day and walk into my house. After watching him drive away, I do a search of the name he gave me. It doesn't take long to find out that he's a registered sex offender. I felt shivers down my spine. Being that I have a wife and a teenage daughter, I felt it necessary to call this man's mother. I told her to inform him not to be around my place anymore. I've always heard that dogs can spot the bad in people. I believe it now. Good boy. This happened last night, about a quarter after midnight. I was in my bed when I heard frantic knocking. I walked out of my bedroom while the knocking continued and heard a woman saying, "Please help me," along with crying, but it was faint. I looked at the people and no one was there, and no other doors were being knocked on, just mine, which was odd in itself because I live on the third floor. Why would someone walk all this way up to my apartment if it was in distress? I think it was a recording, because if someone really needed help, they would be banging on everyone's door. I called the police immediately, and the dispatcher told me not to open the door, and if I had a weapon. I've heard of this tactic before, but slightly different, as it was a recording of a baby crying. Just insane while thinking about the statistics of stranger abductions usually result in murder. Also, just so sick to try to prey on someone's empathy. The police drove by. I saw them using their spotlight to look through the complex. But as of now, I have no idea if anyone was found, or by chance was hurt, if they found her. I barely slept with all the possibilities of how this person found me, where they saw me, when they followed me, or if they live in the complex. I am 4'10", live alone, and don't know many people in my area. No family close either. Have they been watching me and know all of this? I mean, it's just making me go crazy. Stay vigilant, don't fall for these tactics, and know that not everything you read on the internet is false. I heard about this a couple years ago, and wonder if I hadn't already been aware of this, would I have opened the door? Where would I be right now? Would I be alive? This world is fucked. Update, 2:57 p.m. I have talked with management to let me know what was going on. As of right now, no one else reported to them of anything similar happening. I'm going to contact the police again for an update. I was directed to another PD, but they weren't the ones that responded to the call. I know it takes time for these reports to be filed, so I'm trying to be patient. I just want to know if this happened to anyone else. I've ordered a Ring camera, and will be picking it up shortly. At least I can get it on video if they come back, and it will help me sleep better. As far as it being a prank, it absolutely could be, but I would be more inclined to believe it if it happened to other women in the apartment. Maybe it has, but they haven't said anything. One side of the coin, it's a very cruel prank and I shouldn't worry about it. The other is that someone has been watching me and had something sinister in mind. Horrifying to think that someone would pull an elaborate prank like this, or real world things that happen that we never think could happen to us. With guns and self-defense class, I will be getting both of these, but they will take time and a lot of money. I don't just want to get a cheap gun with no training. That won't help much. It will be something I will invest my time and money into. But for the short security, I can really only get a Ring camera and stay updated with a PD. Thanks everyone for your helpful tips, like the neighborhood app and gun safety. I appreciate it so much during this very scary time. Update 2. I have my Ring camera installed and working. I feel much safer knowing that if they come back, I can at least have a recording of them. I know I need to talk to my neighbors, but right now I'm exhausted from no sleep and still spooked, so I'll do that tomorrow. Also, hopefully the police report will be filed tomorrow, so I can talk to a deputy about this, see if there's any update. Back when I was in college, I finally got my own car. My usual Friday nights were taking my cousins and my brother to my old high school's football games, since we were all fans of sports. The games would usually end around 9:30, and after we got done with our late night fast food joint run, the time would be around 10:30 p.m. Whenever I drop someone off at their house, regardless of what time of the day it is or how much of a rush I'm in, I always make sure to sit in my car until I see them enter their house. My mom and dad were the ones that always engraved this into my head, because doing this ensured that they actually got home safely. My mom's fears were that they didn't have a key to get in, and they were locked out of their own home. And far worse, there was someone menacing hiding behind one of the bushes, or against a wall far out of sight. So anyway, the time was around 10:30, and I pull up to my last cousin's house. The passenger side of my car that my cousin's sitting in is facing directly in front of his house's driveway. So as my cousin is gathering his stuff, I glance over to my aunt's house to see if there is anything or anyone around. That's when I see my uncle is underneath my aunt's car doing some car work, or so I thought. Before my cousin steps out of the car, I take a closer look, and I now know that this man is not my uncle. I pull my cousin back into the car and tell him, "Look, who is that?" He is frightened at seeing this, and I tell him to call his dad to make sure it wasn't him. As he does, I pull the car to the other side of the street, just in case things go bad. His dad comes out as fast as he could. and now he and I are confronting the man underneath my aunt's car. The man is way underneath the car, as his legs were the only body part that isn't under the car. As it turns out, it was just a homeless man who had a few drinks as he was slurring his words. We kept trying to tell him that he needed to leave. I know this man meant no harm, but I tell this story as a cautionary tale as why you should always make sure to scan the area or wait for your family members, friends, or whoever you're dropping off to make sure they enter the house safely. I've never really had anything like this happen to me before, so I'm not sure if perhaps I'm overthinking it. I'm a relatively short girl. Yesterday at around 5 a.m., my girlfriend had ordered some DoorDash. We always put a leave it at the door option, especially when it's in the morning. So it just turns into a matter of waiting for the DoorDasher to leave. However, the guy I got yesterday scared the hell out of me. We had gotten a DoorDash notification that our food was dropped off, ready for pickup. I was just about to walk out when I noticed that he was just standing there, not on his phone, not trying to see if he was at the right house, nothing, no kind of movement. I was a bit confused, so I told my girlfriend. I asked if she had put the leave at the door option, and she had. I waited a bit before she decided to call and remind him to just leave it there. He never answered, ignored every call, every text, even hung up on her. It wasn't even him trying to steal my food. If that were the case, he would have just drove off. He spent a while waiting, and at one point, I almost went out when I no longer saw him, but realized he was just in his car, across the street, waiting. He hadn't even left the food over the fence. He just took it with him while he waited in his car. He then drove off angrily, almost like he was upset that I didn't go out to see. That was around the same time he hung up on my girlfriend. Both times that he waited, outside the fence and in his car, it lasted about 10 to 15 minutes. I have no doubt that something was up with this guy. I'm a 38-year-old female. When I was 18, I lived in a detached garage apartment that had the second apartment upstairs. My apartment was in infancy and only had walls without doors to separate the rooms. The second floor was being renovated and no one rented it. At night, I would hear footsteps that sounded like it came from upstairs. I could hear someone going up and down the stairs outside at night. One time, I put my St. Bernard on a tie out to potty. I went outside when I heard scratching on the steps to find her wrapped around the stairs in a way she couldn't have done herself. I started having friends stay over because I thought I was imagining things since it was my first time living alone. One night, I was laying in bed when I heard a noise that woke me up. I looked up, half awake, and saw a shadowy figure at the foot of my bed. I could see the outline of what looked like a thin man or woman with shaggy hair and a top hat. I told myself that I was just being paranoid and imagining things. I grabbed a hold of my dog, covered us up with a blanket, telling myself it wasn't real. A few weeks later, my car had a baseball thrown through the window. I was out taping up my window and a neighbor came to talk to me, a young couple that rented a house on the same lot. I asked her if she knew if our landlord had either been working on the upstairs unit or maybe rented it out because I kept hearing noises. She told me no and offered to have her husband go take a look at the upstairs unit. While he was expecting it, she starts telling me to be aware of homeless men who have been seen in the alley behind us. I ask her to describe him and she tells me that he's tall, thin, dirty long hair and is always wearing a funny hat, like the Mad Hatter. The husband comes back and tells me that the door was unlocked, but the floor isn't done in the apartment, so there's no possible way someone could be up there, because there's no place to step. I called my mom, and she helped me move. While I was loading the U-Haul, I found three house keys in a random place in my yard. All of them went to my door. I'm pretty sure there was a dude just sleeping with me, and I had no idea. I went to college in a historic mid-sized city in Florida, and at the time I lived in a duplex downtown, maybe three blocks from campus. The city is known for being pretty safe, and I lived in a pretty decent area with large, historic homes near me. The story takes place around 3 years ago. The duplex I lived in had a front door that locked, and then both the upstairs and downstairs units had their own locking door. I lived downstairs and had two roommates, but this night, only one of my roommates was home. We knew the girls that lived upstairs, but only spoke to them in passing. When they moved in, we empathized how important it is for them to keep the main front door locked, and they did a good job of doing so. So me and my roommate are in for the night, knowing the front door is locked, and we smoke a few joints, and quickly realize that the girls upstairs ordered a pizza. Later on, it becomes evident that they never locked their front door after receiving their pizza. So we finally go to sleep in our rooms, and since I had a queen bed, I would often sleep with my phone and laptop next to me in my bed. A couple hours after I fell asleep, I woke up to a man standing over my bed. As soon as I realize I'm not dreaming, I notice that he's quickly moving my phone and computer off my bed and moving my comforter, trying to get in my bed. I start to ask him who he is and what he's doing here, and I'm just generally confused. I was still high from before I went to sleep. The only thing he said to me multiple times was that he was just trying to get into bed. At this point, I begin to panic, as my mind obviously goes to the worst. I was hoping that maybe my roommate had invited some random Tinder guy over, and he had gone into the wrong room. But the more I questioned him, all he had to say is, "I'm just trying to get into bed." I own pepper spray and a stun gun, but I accidentally left them on the shelf that the guy was standing right in front of, so there's no way I would be able to grab them without escalating the situation. Realizing I need to do something quickly, I blurted out, "There are 5 people who live in this house. Get the fuck out of here now. I will scream and they will come in seconds." Luckily, that was all it took to scare him off. I don't know if he had brought something with him or he stole something from me, but I saw him grab something in the dark and run out. As soon as he left my room, I shut my door and locked it and tried to find my phone. I couldn't find it anywhere, but then quickly realized that between my room and the front door is the room of my friend that was home. As scared as I was just terrified that the guy had maybe gone into her room, so I grabbed my stun gun and pocket knife, counted to 3, and ripped open my door. I ran into my roommate's room. She was fast asleep, with no evidence of the guy. I told her what happened, and she asked me if I was sure that I wasn't dreaming. I began to question it myself until I walked out of her room and saw that our front door was wide open. I went in my room to search for my phone, and finally found where it was hidden, under a pile of clothes. The pile was across the room from where I left it. That sent a chill up my spine, as I immediately knew for a fact that someone had been in my house and my room while I was sleeping, and long enough to hide my phone, which only worsened my suspicions of his intentions. I ran back to my roommate's room, who at that point believed me. We barricaded ourselves in the room and called 911. Within minutes, there were police cars swarming our streets and policemen in our yard that yelled for us to leave quickly and run towards them. At least a dozen police officers came running in and searched every inch of our apartment. I also woke up the girls upstairs and searched their apartment to ensure the man had left. The officer then had me write a statement and give him the description of the man. And to this day, I never heard a single thing about that case. I feel incredibly lucky with the outcome of the situation, but the thought of his intentions terrifies me. And additionally, the fact that he was never caught scares me. I would hate for anyone else to have to go through the pure fear that I did. I will add, there is a chance that he was on drugs or mentally ill and had no bad intentions. However, because he was never caught, I will never know, and my mind will always assume the worst. To the man that now keeps me up at night, let's not meet again. This summer, I decided to pick up some graveyard shifts at my current full-time job. Simply, it pays me more, and I'm a university student drowning in student debt. About 2 weeks ago, on a rare occasion that I got to sleep during the same time the sun is down, at 3:30 or 4 a.m., I was suddenly woken up by a loud sound. Me being half asleep, I honestly didn't know what the sound was exactly. I just chopped it up to being my neighbors dropping something, because I live in an apartment with very thin walls. So I was just trying to go back to sleep. After about 10 minutes of me laying there with my eyes closed, I hear the sound again, but this time I'm pretty much awake, so I realize what the sound is immediately. Someone was knocking on my window. For context, I'm a single female living alone in the basement suite, so my windows are basically level with the sidewalk. Anyways, obviously I'm freaked out. I don't know what the heck to do. I don't want to move or make any loud noises, as I don't want them to know I'm home. I'm just frozen, laying in this bed. I hear the knocking again. I instantly bolt up as my fight or flight kicks in, and I run to the front door, which has my keys and my pepper spray on it. The keys clink together and make a noticeable noise, and the knocking starts to get more intense and loud. This is when I realize the window with the screen by my bed is almost all the way open, because my cat likes to sit on the edge, and I forgot to close it and lock it. I start to freak out already, having major anxiety. I start looking for my phone just in case I need to call the police. Me being clumsy and shaking from my anxiety, I drop my phone on the ground. Whoever's at my window proceeds to do what sounds like sliding his fingernails or a sharp object down the screen. I realize this person's intentions are either to come in or to scare me. So like a fucking idiot and not thinking, I run to the window as fast as I can. I slam it shut and lock it while avoiding looking outside at whatever it was. The knocking stops and I wait about 30 minutes without hearing any knocking. I lay back down and go right back to sleep. The next morning, I honestly couldn't even believe that happened to me. I started to think that maybe it was a dream. I go outside to investigate and see an empty beer bottle and a ripped blanket. I text my only friend who knows where I live and ask them if they're fucking with me. They said no, which I figured because they don't drive and live quite far away. The buses around my house stopped running well before 3 a.m. So I called my landlord and told him what happened. He says to ignore it and this happened before, which is fucking creepy. I obviously recognize now that I should have done things a lot differently and called the police right away. It hasn't happened since. Nevertheless, still super terrifying. I can't afford to move again, so creepy bro knocking on my window, let's not meet again. This happened in 2018, probably around 10 o'clock at night. My sister, 15 at the time, and myself, female and 18 at the time, played volleyball together for our high school, and obviously we ride home together after our games. Our mom was probably about 10 minutes behind us. I live about 30 minutes outside of town, in a little neighborhood out in the country. So all my neighbors and I live down gravel roads. The neighborhood had no streetlights, so it was pitch dark outside, except for my car headlights. As we were pulling up and turned onto the gravel road, we noticed a guy in a black hoodie standing by our neighbor's mailbox. Of course, I stopped the car and we both stared at the strange person. We knew it wasn't one of our neighbors because we lived there our whole lives, and none of our neighbors would be out taking a walk in the middle of the night, so it was definitely weird. As we're staring at this person, they start walking towards my car and I obviously freak out. We'll whip a U-turn out of the driveway and book it down the neighborhood. I could have just turned into our driveway and went home, but didn't want the person to follow us because we were just two teenage girls and would have been home alone until my mom got there. I called my grandma who lives 5 minutes away and explained our situation and went to her house. We called my mom and also told her not to go home and that we were at my grandma's house. My grandma called our neighbor and they called the sheriff, but the guy was gone. We went back home and ended up sleeping in the same bed just in case this creepy guy came back. It was definitely a creepy, unsettling encounter because who knows what this person wanted, or if they would have followed my car down the driveway and potentially did something to my sister and I. I'm just glad I turned around and left. Never saw this person again. I'm a female. About 7 years ago, I still lived with my grandparents in their small rural home. My grandparents had gone on a 2-week trip, and I decided to stay home so I could bask in the alone time. About a week into the trip and my alone time, my dog, a little toy poodle, started going nuts at the patio door. He's not a guard dog per se, but he's a great watchdog. I thought it was weird because he was just standing in front of the patio door, growling his little head off. My dog never growls like that. He barks at possums, raccoons, but he doesn't growl. He really sounded like he wanted to hurt someone. I knew something was up, so I made my way towards the door when I hear voices. The curtains were closed, so I couldn't see anything, but I could distinctly hear two male voices on my back deck. I then saw the handle of the door messed with, like someone was trying to pick the lock. I freaked out internally, to be honest, but for some reason, I was very calm externally. I simply walked over to the gun cabinet, retrieved my grandpa's revolver, made sure it was loaded, and then returned to the patio door. I thought my voice would shake when I spoke up because the voice in my head was shaking, but my physical voice was extremely calm, cold, and collected. I don't know how to explain it really. I was a completely different person for all about 3 minutes. To this day, I remember exactly what I said. I have a gun. It's loaded. The safety is off, and I won't miss. I had barely finished my sentence when I heard frantic scrambling. Then I heard a truck start. I got to the front window in time to see a truck pull out of the driveway and speed off. I have no idea how I didn't hear them when they pulled up in the first place. Obviously, they weren't looking to run into anyone. My car was in the shop at the time, so no vehicle parked in the driveway. I often keep my lights off to save on the electric bill and was only using the light in the room I was in. My room at the time had blackout curtains, so they wouldn't have seen any light. They must have assumed no one was home. The whole night was a surreal experience for me. It remains one of the most detailed memories I have. Okay, so this just happened 30 minutes ago, and I don't know what to think about it, but I'm still absolutely on pins and needles as I type this. So I live in a nicer suburb in a good-sized apartment complex that for some reason has weird encounters. I've had plenty of creepy things happen to me, but the one from tonight is the one that spooked me enough to actually sit, write about it, and share it. A little background to help you see how off it was for me to be so afraid so fast. I enjoy researching and learning about the darker sides of people, and wanted to be a forensic psychologist, or a profiler, for the FBI. Neither of those panned out, but I'm very aware of people and odd behaviors because of it. I'm also very paranoid, and I'm always trying my best to make it as hard as possible for any would-be person looking to harm me to be able to do that. So naturally, my alarm bells work very, very well. It was about 12:30 a.m. at night, and I was taking my dog for the last potty break before bed. The buzzer that rings in my apartment to be let in is broken, of course. So we, my boyfriend and I, take our keys out with us to come back in. I was too lazy and didn't bring them in, thinking I would just call him to buzz me in. As I walked down the stairs, I had literally said to myself, almost in a joking way, "What if someone weird is outside and I don't have my keys and can't get inside in time if he runs at me?" I'm now chilling outside of the main door, maybe 6 to 8 feet away. I'm under the light and have a lit cigarette, and my dog is going to do his business. If you look behind me, it's very lit up with lights, so it's pretty visible. And if you look in front of me, it's dark from some of the lights that haven't been fixed recently. There's one light that works, but it's a dull and mostly orangey color that doesn't help much. I'm finishing my cig, looking in the direction of the orange light, which is off to the side a bit, and away from another apartment building entrance next to me, 100 feet away. Usually there's people walking around the complex at any time of day or night, but at that moment, I was totally alone, and it was silent. All of a sudden, there's a movement, and a person comes out from behind a tree that is behind the orange light I told you about. The person teeters left to right, and the hair on my neck stands straight up. It was very jarring, as this person was not standing in a spot you would expect to see someone at 12:30 a.m., alone with no dog, phone in hand, or SIG. It doesn't sound as creepy as I typed this up, but it was really about the person's placement and behavior. It was like the person moved side to side like the wacky waving inflatable tube man that you see at crappy car dealerships, but with no flailing arms. He also wasn't standing at the building entrance at all. He was standing off to the side in the grass. but he also wasn't close enough to one of the ground floor apartments to be coming out or in of one. He was all of a sudden there, alone, and doesn't have anything with him or around him that would justify what he was doing. I was shocked that I was so terrified of this person's presence and odd stance so suddenly, as I never felt anything like this before, and I'm not the type of person that gets spooked by much of anything. I'm walking sideways to my main door, and the person is simultaneously sidestepping and crouches behind a bush. I can't see him any longer. At this point, I am alarmed as shit, and I sprint walk back to my building's main door. I push the buzzer, because sometimes it works. Of course, it doesn't work. Don't forget that I don't have my keys to let myself in, and this person hid himself. I call my boyfriend, and luckily he picks up right away, as we do this main door thing often. I barely say anything but, "Let me in now," over and over again, as I'm watching in the direction of where the man or person was at. So afraid that he'll run at me at any minute. Coincidentally, the same fucking thought I had when I walked down the steps in the beginning. The door buzzed, and let me tell you, that I flew up those steps. My boyfriend had been waiting for me since he heard something wrong in my voice on the phone. I bolt my door twice and start looking out the window with my fight or flight still going through the roof. Anticlimactic ending. I don't see anything while I watch, but my brain is still telling me to be on alert, and I cannot sleep. Basically like Skyrim, when you can't sleep when your enemies are near. I know nothing happened to me, but my gut is absolutely telling me that something wasn't right and I was unsafe. I don't know what to think, but it worries me, and I can't explain why. Update for answering questions. My dog is my right-hand man for most things, but he's a small 30-pound 11-year-old husky mix, and wouldn't save me from a squirrel. This was about 20 years ago. Me and a bunch of my friends went to a popular campground by the beach to spend the night, rural coastal area. When we arrived, there was a pile of chopped wood about 2 meters high. It was a bit of a bizarre novelty, so we had fun climbing on it and building our fire out of something that wasn't twigs. There's even a candid picture of my friends up there. So we went to set up our tents, lit a fire with ease, smoked weed, and drank, as you do in your early 20s. We went home the next day. It may have been a few days later, or maybe a week, I can't remember. But the police discovered a body of a missing young woman under the woodpile. The murderer had killed her, chopped up all the wood, driven about an hour, dumped her body, and then dumped the wood on top of her. Turned out that she had been there for about 24 hours by the time we were climbing and playing on the woodpile. I can't remember her name now, which makes me feel bad, and Google doesn't help. Her murder was brought to justice, at least. Anyways, I think about it from time to time, even though it's been a while. I was camping in the dead of winter in the Northeast with my scout troop. It was only about 20 degrees out at night. I usually wake up a few times over the night on these abnormally cold ones, but this time I woke up sweating, which was unusual. And when I sat up, I heard something rustling not too far away from my tent. Me, being one of the oldest, got out of my tent to investigate. I had a knife, a hatchet, and a flashlight. I heard something crash, but didn't see anyone. I checked the 5 tents around me, and everybody was asleep. I checked the 15 little scout tents, and everyone was there. I checked the adult tents, and everyone was there too. It freaked me out so much that I didn't sleep for the rest of the night. In the morning, when I left my tent, I checked the snow around my area, and there were footprints of boots bigger than mine all around my tent and around the shrubs near it. There was also a huge spot in the snow where you could tell that someone dove down and hid behind the shrubs. Needless to say, there was someone that I didn't know who had bigger feet than I and all the scouts and leaders, and it was in our campsite. I always set alarms for 1 hour now. I do campsite sweeps from now on. Edit. When I checked the tents, it took me about 5 minutes, and there were snow and sticks everywhere, so there's no way anybody could have got into their tent without me seeing. I was out with my girlfriend Sunday evening for a walk in the park. I suggested we try a new way. The entrance of the park was a narrow trail with tall grass on both sides leading deeper into the woods. After a few minutes walking, we noticed a tall man wearing a white tank top and shorts standing alone on the trail looking at us. I whispered to my girlfriend, "That's not creepy at all," and proceeded to take a different path in the forks ahead of us. We continued down the trail that ended up taking us down in this narrower path with trees on both sides. As we were walking in a single file line, girlfriend leading the way, I heard something like a branch snap behind us, which made me stop and listen. I shortly concluded that it was just an animal, or a coincidence. It was starting to get nearly pitch black, so we had turned on our flashlights on our phones, and decided to head back before it got too dark. I was walking in front now, and it just took a few steps before I was face to face with the guy with a white tank top. He was sneaking behind us with no lights on, following us in the dark. I shined my lights towards him, and he looked like a deer in headlights, like someone had caught him red-handed. My fist was instinctively clenched, and I had a real bad feeling about him. I was sure it was going to go south, and I was ready to fight. As we approached to go past him, he said, "Good evening." I replied with a confident good evening to show him no fear, and we continued our way back. I looked back after a few steps and he was just standing there at the spot that we crossed him, and he was looking in our direction. I told my girlfriend to get in front, and we ran the fuck back to the exit and got in our car. Relieved, we were talking about what just happened and realized the intensity of it. A few minutes later, we see the man walk out of the trails fast. I don't know what he was hiding there or what was at the end of the trail, but I'm lucky we turned back fast. We both felt bad vibes from him, and I believe he was up to no good. Stranger in the woods, let's not meet again. So I want to share this creepy encounter with you guys. About 4 years ago, my wife and I planned an evening out for her birthday. My parents babysat, and we went out to a restaurant. Because I drove, I didn't drink, so we didn't bother to go anywhere else after we were done in the restaurant, but because the night was still young, we decided to take a long drive. A location which is relatively nearby is a large national park. We decided to take a drive up there and sit and chat under the stars. When we arrived there, the country roads were dead. I found a nice open parking area to pull the car up in. We started making out, and things carried on until we began having sex. At no point did either of us leave the car. As we were doing the deed, headlights lit up our vehicle. Instantly, we were like, "Oh God, there's somebody driving by. I hope they don't see what we're doing." For me, it was an instant turnoff, so I quickly pulled up my trousers and ceased. I thought the car was just a fellow traveler passing by, but to our surprise, the car pulled into our area and began circling us. I put the keys in the ignition and said, "Let's go." I drove out of the car parking area onto the road back to the main connected road. The car followed. Once we were on the main connecting road, we could see the make, model, and color of the car that was now following us. It was a dark red Ford. I drove quickly but not recklessly. The car matched my speed and was right up my ass. Neither of us were 100% sure if we were just being paranoid or if this car was really meaning to follow us. So I said, I know what I'll do. I'll pull up at some random turning to see what they'll do. So I put my foot down, and after a few hundred yards down the main road, I made a late left turn down a narrow side lane. I pulled up after a while on the side road, stopped and turned off my headlights, and watched in the rearview mirror to see if the red Ford carried on straight on the main road or if it turned off. After a few seconds, there he was. He had turned off and is now coming down the narrow lane towards us again. At first we were blinded by the headlights, but I was sure it was him. My wife said, "I don't think it is the same car, you know?" I said, "It is, it is, look." As he got closer, it became apparent that it was the same car, so I drove further and further, and luckily found a big space enough to turn my car around. I spun around, and back on the main road again. He followed. Now back on the main road for the second time, I now decided to speed. As I was heading towards the built-up city center, he kept behind me the whole way. Eventually, we stopped at a red light, and he was right behind. I looked in my rearview mirror and saw his face. To this day, I can still remember his face. A middle-aged, slightly tubby man with glasses and thin gray hair. At this point, I was freaked out. We both were. I said to my wife, "I'm gonna keep driving to try to lose him, but I'm not driving home, so he doesn't know where we live." She agreed. We drove around for maybe another 10 minutes. He was still following. At this point, I was beginning to consider the possibility of calling the cops, but I thought I would give it a few more minutes of trying to lose him. Thankfully, a few streets later, he turned off and was never seen again. I know it's a real possibility that he may have been a dogger. Not sure if this is a thing in America, but it's basically where strangers meet other strangers in the wilderness to have sex. But if he was a dogger, or thought we were doggers, then surely he would have understood that we weren't interested when we actively drove away. The fact that he followed us into a built-up city for 25 minutes or more makes me think that he had more sinister intentions. What do you think? To this day, it's still the wildest moment of my life. So, this will probably get lost in the subreddit, but whatever. It's a story I didn't share to many, because I guess it isn't as creepy as it gets, but I'll never forget it. My best friend and I lived near a forest, or more like woods, with a little river. We as kids loved to go there after playing video games. One time we went there because we were bored. It was a sunny day, but I don't remember the month. I was around 11 or 12 at the time. We were in the forest and throwing rocks into a teeny river. Just walking and talking. As we were just walking, I felt observed like never before. I asked my friend if he had the same feeling, and he told me that he did in fact. We looked around until we saw a stranger. He was on the top of the hill looking down at us, all dressed in white, a menacing bald guy. We were petrified. We started running out of the forest. We were so scared. I never ran so fast in my life. I was shitting my pants. He had no reason to be there, just looking at us. He could have said something, but he didn't say a word, and we just stared at him for like 10 seconds, scared as we were. I had no idea who this guy was, or what he wanted, but I never went back into those woods ever again. And what is most weird in the story is, after that, I felt like I was being observed for a very long time at random moments, like while in bed. Back in 2016, my friends and I for the longest time had been itching to go camping to our local campsite in Los Padres National Park in Southern California. We found the perfect weekend to go that didn't interfere with any of our work schedules. We set the date. 3 days before the trip, we found out that we were going to be hit by the El Nino rainstorm. Us being the dudes that we are, we didn't care if we got hit by the storm while camping. So we packed up our cars and made the 45-minute drive to the campsite. The campsite was a family-friendly one, where there were about 100 camping lots that circled around the clearing in the forest. We found the perfect spot that was underneath a huge thick tree that would help block out as much of the rain as possible, and it helped that the restrooms were only 30 yards away. As soon as we got to our spot, we took advantage of the afternoon sky being cleared for a moment, and we rushed to set up our spot. The layout that we did was that we pitched our tents close by, where our tent doors were only about 6 feet apart. The reason why we did this was to combat the rain, and in order to combat the rain, I brought a 30-foot by 30-foot thick blue canopy tarp that I threw over to cover us from the rain above, and the rain that would have been running through the ground. It was a genius move on my part. But whenever you would walk around the tent, you'd be making so much noise from the crunching of the plastic tarp. Hours passed and we were around the campfire. It was late into the evening, and this was the first time I noticed that there were barely any other campers. They were mainly camping in their RVs, like the fake campers they were. Honest opinion, they were the smart ones, unlike my friends and I that were sleeping out in two small tents, with our only protection being a blue tarp. I was getting tired from the long day of work and decided I was going to go off to knock out. My friends followed my lead as well. The way of the sleeping arrangements were was that I had my friend Ray sleeping in my tent, and AJ and S were sleeping in theirs. Before I called it a night, I whispered to Ray and told him, I'm going to prank call S and AJ, but I'm not going to say anything. Ray smiled and I dialed my friends up. I called them on restricted and S's phone started to ring. Both of them, being the way that they are, got timid very easily when he said to S, who's calling you this late at night? I don't know. They called me on restricted. Are you going to answer? Of course not. Ray and I were holding in our laughter as they ignored our call. I decided to do it one more time. Once their phone started ringing, they started freaking out once again and said, who is it this time? Same person, I think. I'm going to answer. As they did answer, S said very shakily,
Hello?
Ray and I had to hold in our laughter as we kept as quiet as possible, not wanting to make any noises that would give off that it was us. I held the phone close to my mouth as I began to breathe heavily in a murderous way. I ended the call, and just hearing them freak out the way they did was making my night even better. Me being the idiot I am, I called it one more time, and this time, S picked up the phone immediately and said in a tough voice,
Look, whoever this is, better stop. I'm going to call the cops if you keep calling. This is not a threat.
Ray and I looked at one another, and at the same time began to fake moan so loud and immediately started to bawl out in laughter. AJ and S were so mad at us for pulling a prank that they were cussing us out. Me, finally calming down from laughing so loudly, told the boys, Good night. I'll have pancakes ready in the morning. Since I fall asleep relatively easily, I was out in a matter of minutes. While Ray, AJ, and S were up for a while longer, I was one of the first of my friends to wake up in the morning, and as I promised, I had the pancakes already cooking by the time anyone else woke up. The smell of me cooking woke up my friends, and one by one, they got out of their tents. As we were eating, AJ spoke up and said, Hey Jay, that prank you pulled on us last night went a little too far. Yeah, you had us ready to run to our car and take off. Me feeling a little bit guilty, I apologized and said, Sorry guys, my bad. Yeah, it's one thing to prank calls like that, but to walk around our tent and then go inside it in the middle of the night is totally out of the limits, S said. Me not knowing what they were talking about said, What do you guys mean? Come on, still with the jokes. You were the one that was walking around our tent, and you walked in. Ray spoke up and said, That wasn't Jay who was walking around. I thought that was one of you getting your revenge on us for scaring you. That wasn't us doing that. It was you two. So to explain, after I fell asleep, about an hour had passed where Ray, S, and AJ were still up, and all was quiet in the forest until the sounds of footsteps were heard stepping on a blue tarp that was on the ground. At first, my friends thought it could have just been a forest animal wandering around. But the heavy footsteps were a dead giveaway that it was a person. As they described, the person was walking all around the tents, making constant figure eights. The person would place their fingers on the fabric of the walls and run them up and down. The footsteps finally stopped after a couple minutes, right in between our tents. The three of them were already having their hearts pounding out of their chests. It was silent for a long minute until the sound of the tent zipper being slid open. As AJ says, the tent door was only opened halfway, and it was too dark to see anything clearly. But in the darkness, both Est and AJ saw a silhouette of a man pop his head into the tent and look at both of them. AJ and Est faked being asleep the entire time, but kept their eyes locked on the man. The man then opened the tent fully and walked inside the tent, just standing at the entrance. He didn't say a word or do anything, just watched both of them laying there in their sleeping bags. After the longest minute ever, the man just turned around and stepped out of the tent, and his footsteps were heard walking away, disappearing into the night. The entire time that this was happening, Est and AJ thought it was either me or Ray, and Ray thought it was either AJ or Est doing this. Back to us arguing back and forth at the breakfast table, we were interrupted by a man walking to our campsite. He said, "Good morning, boys. How did you four sleep last night?" This man spoke in a smoker's voice, as if he had been smoking for all of his 45 years of being alive. He wore a dirty, sweat-stained white t-shirt that looked more gray at this point, and his blue jeans looked like they had never been taken off. He smelled like liquor, not a good sign at 8 in the morning, and his words were just mumbling around. We didn't say a word to the guy, as he then asked us if we had any cigarettes to spare. I said that we didn't smoke, and he said, "Oh well, if you boys want to visit me in my RV, just stop by any time." The man continued to walk away towards the restrooms, and after he was done using it, he walked back to our campsite. He didn't say anything this time, but he looked at us and gave us a nearly toothless smile and walked back to his RV. I took note of his RV, as it was the only RV that stuck out as being dirty and more run down than the others. We quickly summed up that this was the person walking around our tents last night, and Est and AJ now remembered that they smelt liquor from the person who was standing in their tent. We all agreed that we would keep an extra eye on this guy, and if he did spend another night, we would most likely report him to the park rangers if he tried anything else. When it was around lunchtime, the man came back, not to use the restrooms, but just to talk to us. "So, are you boys interested in buying an RV? You all can check it out right now and see if you want to buy it. I don't need it anymore since my wife left me. Just check out the inside of the RV." "No, we are good, sir," I said with a visible threatening tone. The man seemed to notice this and walked away. The man did end up leaving a few hours before sunset, but the entire time he was there, he kept glancing at us. The man had the RV about 50 yards away from us and noticed that the restroom was next to his RV. Why did he make the effort into walking way over to our campsite to use our restroom? Also, why did he even use ours if RVs come with restrooms installed in them? Whatever this man wanted, we were just glad that we were able to enjoy the rest of our weekend. About 7 years ago, I went lightweight camping with a friend in a national forest that we were very familiar with. It was night, camp was set, and we were at camp around the campfire. Unexpectedly, it started raining, like Vietnam raining, which was very odd because the whole weekend there was no rain in the forecast, at all. Anyway, we decided to pack up and head back to the truck with a roughly hour or so hike. The rain starts getting worse, and the fog started to settle. That was alarming to me because we were on the ridge, and the fog usually settles in the valleys, at least in my experience. So my friend and I are pretty creeped out by it. Now, I know on the trail, there's a very mild split where you can go back to the parking area, or do a separate trail that goes a few miles to an equestrian trail. I've been on both several times. Well, we got mixed up in the inclement weather and took the latter. We hiked for about 30 minutes or so, and the rain stopped. It didn't slow or drizzle, just stopped. Hell, even the trail looked like it had hardly rained on it. It was still very foggy. Both of us know we weren't in the right spot, and something wasn't right. It was the hair on the back of your neck standing up kind of fucked up. We came down a hill, and out of the thick fog, somehow, before us was a dirt road. It had trees lining it, and went on for as far as our flashlights reached. The temperature had to have dropped 20 degrees. It was fucking insane, and everything about this area, which I knew did not exist, filled me and my buddy full of dread. I can't explain how absurd and unnatural this place was. The only feeling for me I can specifically nail down is that I did not belong there. So instead of being normal-ass white people and investigating and dying, we decided to turn the fuck around and go home. Uneventful walk back, but when we left that area, it was back to rain, mud, and fog. I know for a fact this place where we were doesn't exist, not only from the memory of these trails, but also from Google Maps and investigating. Absolutely nothing like what we saw, so what the fuck was it? Where were we? And how do you explain it? No idea. I've even been back on those trails, albeit in daylight, never saw that place again. This experience turned me onto The Missing 411, very interesting books, movies, and YouTube videos about bizarre weather phenomenon with a mix of supernatural, eventually leading to a missing persons. It gets even more weird. Last year, I started dreaming about the place and being there. I don't know, like a calling to it maybe. I called my buddy, who had moved away at the time, and told him I had to tell him something. He said, "Bro, I've been dreaming about that place too." I in no way hinted at what I was going to say. It was terrifying, and we decided we have to go back. He has moved back now, and we're planning another trip to camp off the trail close to the place, and we're going to investigate. I decided to take my dogs for a walk today on one of the trails near my house. I told my husband I was heading out and wouldn't be gone long. Vincent Woods Environmental Education Center was where I ended up. I got there around 11:30 in the morning, and away we went. Absolutely beautiful day. Trails were totally empty. The perfect walk conditions. I had my two female Alaskan Malamutes. This is important later, I promise. We headed down the green trail since it was the shortest and went by some marsh, bogs, and the girls loved to watch the ducks. The walk was uneventful for the first little bit. Just birds chirping, trying to get some birdie love, and the wind in the trees. The usual forest sounds, and then I heard my name. Weird, but it could be someone with a radio on the different trail. Both the dogs were looking in the direction that we heard it come from. An uneasy feeling starts setting in, but like every other rational person, I chalked it up to be an overactive imagination and continued on. Then I heard my name again, a little louder and a little more insistent, if you will. Instead of looking towards where the sound came from, I looked at my dogs, who were both staring in the direction of my name, and I noticed my older female's hackles were slowly rising. Time to go, she's not happy. I decided to turn around and go back the way we came from. We had only been gone maybe 10 minutes down the trail, so it was faster just to turn back. I hear my name again. We walk faster because now the hair on both the dogs are up. One is 2 years old, and her daughter is 8 months. Hackles up on a puppy is definitely a sign that they're scared. Then I notice my dogs aren't pulling me. They're Alaskan Malamutes. They're bred to pull. Anytime we walk, literally anywhere on the leash, they are pulling. These two dogs are directly beside me, one on the left and one on the right. She now has a low constant growl, like she's warning whatever she can't see to fuck right off. On our way back to the exact route we came from, there's a log in the middle of the trail. I could see my shoe print in the mud and my dog's print heading in the direction under the log. This log was not there on the way. It was big enough and awkward enough that we had to go around it, not far off the trail, just a few steps. I tell my dogs let's go. They follow reluctantly. We hustle back onto the trail. Then I hear Echo's name. She looks. Shortly later, I hear Kive. We're now on a light jog, back to the car. The hairs on the back of my neck are standing up, and everything in my body is screaming to run. Run faster. I hear my name again, this time angry. The closer we got to the trailhead, the more desperate my name sounds. We're full on running now. When we get to the parking lot, I notice I can hear the wind and the birds again. I hadn't realized that I stopped hearing the birds and the wind. We piled into the car as fast as I could get them in and didn't look back. Am I crazy? Did I upset something? I didn't take anything. I didn't move anything. I didn't touch anything. Anytime I take my dogs on the trail, I'm careful to respect nature and make sure my dogs do too. We even bring our own sticks for them to carry, if they want one, so don't take anything from the parks. Okay, so I'm not a conspiracy theorist or believe in ghosts of such, but this is, I promise, a real story that happened to me in the woods as a 14-year-old. So as a kid, my dad and I would walk in the cool locations in the forest with our family. The area we frequented a lot was nicknamed the Blue Lagoon. The area was immensely dense, and people used to camp there way back in the 70s. Long story short, we were walking in the forest. My family was in front, and I stayed back a little because I was looking for small ponds, because it had a weird color. As I turned around, in the distance in the forest was something black, human-shaped, and was running through the forest. Note, the forest entrance only had one road to access, and we parked at the end of the road, and no cars were around it. I quickly panicked and ran towards my parents. I told them, and everyone was spooked out and got back in the car, and we just went home. The forest was cut down a couple years later. After watching a couple 411 cases, it made me remember that event. Edit. Okay, so I just spoke on the phone with my dad. He remembers it and said the reason why everyone was spooked because when he was 14, he was in the same spot having a picnic with his Nana. All of a sudden she said, "Get in the car," and everyone ran to the car. And he said he could see a black figure of a tall man running through the forest. And apparently, the area had many sightings. Hey y'all, I'm a hiker and enjoy walking and cycling the many trails in the mountains and woods around my hometown in Vancouver, Canada. I usually stick to the same trails, so the areas are always familiar. However, once in a while, I get a gut feeling that the woods are different. It's hard to describe, but something in the woods just feels off. Like they've changed in some weird way from the last time I was there. Almost as if the trees have moved, even though they haven't. It feels pretty eerie, and I usually get creeped out. This has happened to me about 10 times in Vancouver, usually in the North Shore Mountains, and also in the trails near UBC. I had also had this happen to me in Southern California, hiking the trails near my boyfriend's house outside of San Diego. I'm a pretty skeptical person and don't really believe in supernatural stuff, although I find it interesting. My skeptical explanation is that sometimes I hike at different times of the day, so the shadows from the sun are in different spots than I'm used to, making everything seem off. Not sure why this makes me feel so eerie though. That being said, this feels a lot like what I've seen described on the sub and in the documentaries, so I'm curious what thoughts you might have. I've been hesitant to write this because I'm not sure how well it fits with the other stories. This was in Canada and in a relatively small conservation area near my parents' house. It was 3 years ago. I just finished my college program and moved back home with my parents while I looked for a job in my field. My parents have a Springer Spaniel who I would take on long hikes through the conservation area their house backed onto. The area has lots of trails. Most are small and stick to the less dense forest, but I, being familiar with the trails from growing up so close to them, didn't follow the markers and instead just usually head over the little bridge into the deeper woods. Since I rarely run into people past the bridge and my dog is well trained, I let her off the leash. I usually listen to a podcast and alternate from running to walking to get some exercise. I've never felt scared in the woods. There are some coyote sightings, but they're rare. No bears, and definitely no big cats. This day started like any other. I took the dog through the sparse forest and reached the bridge to cross into the deeper forest. I have no idea why, but as soon as I crossed the bridge, I felt a heaviness in the air. I felt nervous, and the forest seemed darker. It was like I was suddenly full of dread. The dog, who normally ran wild, stayed close to me. I had to take my headphones out because I felt too unsafe with them in. We walked our normal route, and the unsettling feeling only escalated. Maybe unrelated, but we saw a dead raccoon laying on the trail, a sight I'd never seen before, in the usually well-kept trail. Something about it just seemed wrong, and I'm not sure why. It was covered with maggots, and looked like something out of a horror movie. We kept walking until we reached the area of the forest, that a field with very tall grass, with the trail that we cut through. You can't see a foot into the grass. It is so tall and dense. We were walking until my dog suddenly stopped and started growling, staring into the grass beside us. My dog never growls. She is the sweetest girl ever. Instantly, I was scared and stopped walking. I decided to clip the leash back on the dog, just in case I had to run. She kept growling while I stayed silent, frozen, and listening. Suddenly, I heard what sounded like a human walking through the grass towards us. It sounded big, and I could hear distinctly the sound of human footsteps. There was no reason for a person to be standing in the tall grass that deep into the woods. The sound of footsteps broke my frozen state, and I suddenly booked it back the way we came. The dog seemed in agreement and ran with me. I didn't look back until we were over the bridge. When I did, there was nothing chasing us. I didn't go back in for a while. I was too creeped out. When I finally did go back, I couldn't have my headphones in anymore. I don't know what happened that day, but I've never felt that kind of dread in my life. My partner and I have become avid campers since our time together. We don't go anywhere too extreme and offer well-traversed campgrounds, as we love meeting and getting to know the other campers. One of our favorite spots is a man-made quarry, turned private fenced-in campgrounds that boast around 3,000 campsites in rural Ohio. This incident happened at that campground, September 28, 2019. We brought our camper instead of our tent gear, but were stuck up by the front with all the other RVs and pulled behind campers. We were bummed, but since we love spending time in the woods, we opted to spend most of the weekend hiking through the woods and visiting other campsites. Late in the evening, we were doing one of our hikes where we came up with a brilliant idea to get lost or walk with no direction and just take different paths and turns as we came across them. Since it was all fenced in, we figured there wasn't much bad that could happen. All of our twists and turns ended up taking us back to the very campgrounds, where campsites are more far apart from each other and neighbor several hundred acres of forest behind the campground's fence. It was a nice quiet stroll and went on for a while. My partner noticed a porta-john and stated that he needed to make a stop. I said okay and kept walking ahead, both to give him privacy and to just drink in the beautiful summer night alone. I stopped maybe 30 feet ahead down the path. A few minutes passed before something happened. As I was standing there with my back towards the porta-john, I heard rustling noises behind me, then a thud. Thinking it was my partner finishing up and exiting the porta-john, I waited a couple more seconds for him to catch up to me as I looked out into the woods. My partner is tall and athletic, and I heard him running behind me. I both heard the footfalls and felt him come up behind me quickly, as if he was trying to spook me. I smiled and spun around really fast to look up at him and catch him right before he could touch me, but to my shock, when I spun around, there was no one there. No one. Not my partner. Not another person on the path. No one even in the sparse campsites within eyesight. But I swear on my life, I could feel someone standing directly in front of me. Someone or something. Just as tall, if not taller than my partner. I know what it feels like to have him tower over me, and I felt that same sensation. I instantly dropped my smile and froze. I didn't know what to do. I felt like if I moved, I would be in serious danger, and I felt like I suddenly couldn't hear anything. It just felt like time stopped, and I didn't even want to breathe. The air got heavy and tense, almost like it got very humid very fast. Just when I felt the tension was at its peak, my partner exited the porta-john and loudly started talking to me while walking over. As soon as he was within 8 feet of me, the sensation of someone standing in front of me disappeared. The air cleared and the heaviness quickly dissipated. The whole incident couldn't have been more than 20 seconds, but it felt so much longer. I said nothing as we continued to walk, shaken. I asked to go head back to the camper. I generally believed that if I had walked in a bit farther ahead, or if my partner had just taken a minute longer, I wouldn't be typing this. I lived in the Pacific Northwest, in Kitsap County, Washington. Since then, I've always lived on the edge of a body of water, mainly the Great Lakes, Erie, and Ontario. I currently live in a country that has been previously mentioned in one of the missing 411 cases. I can't help but feel that I dodged a bullet that night, even though I had no idea what could have been facing me at the time, and I didn't discover the missing 411 phenomena until this year. I'm grateful for my partner every day and view him as my protector. Hi all. I ran into Pilates work a few months ago from a YouTube video that mentioned him in Missing 411. I've yet to read his books, but I've seen his movies and had a deep dive on his YouTube channel to learn some more. A common component from people's experiences seems to be an inexplicable feeling of foreboding or of being watched. I had experienced something along those lines when I was hiking in the Alabama Hills 2 years ago. I have never spoken or written about this experience before, and I'm honestly struggling to make sense of it. I was on my way back to California from 2 weeks of camping, sightseeing, in Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho. I wanted to camp in the Alabama Hills before driving through Yosemite and back to my home in the Bay Area. However, I spent the night before camping in the Antelope Island State Park in Utah. Then I did some shopping in Salt Lake City before I decided to take the Highway 50, the loneliest highway, through Nevada, and then a quick drive through Great Bison National Park before crossing the border into California. By the time I got to the Alabama Hills, it was dark, and I didn't want to mess around with trying to find a campsite in the dark, unfamiliar terrain, and I really wanted a shower, so I decided to get a motel room for the night in Lone Pine, California. The following morning, I was up before the sun, figuring there'd be some spectacular sunrise photos to be had from Alabama Hills. After driving around and taking pictures, I thought I would go for a hike to stretch my legs and exercise the dog for a bit before the long drive to Yosemite. There's an arch formation that didn't seem too far off the hike, so that was my intended destination. I had the dog off-leash, and we were well on our way, maybe 200 yards from the truck, when suddenly, my dog stops in the middle of the trail and just freezes, staring at something up ahead. I walk up to him and stop, trying to see what he's staring at. The sun was sort of in my eyes and I couldn't really make out anything. Suddenly, my dog got his hackles up and bares his teeth, starts growling and lets loose a frantic volley of barking. Thought that it must be a predator, coyotes, maybe a mountain lion, or something, so I immediately reached for my pepper spray. Now, my dog is no stranger to nature. I've had him for 4 years at this point, and he's been in more national parks than almost anyone I knew. We racked up a lot of miles together, and I can read his body language very well. I've seen him scared from fireworks, but I've never seen him get aggressive at anything. He's not a barker by nature, unless UPS is delivering at my house or the doorbell goes off. He's part terrier, and has a strong prey drive, so he will go after anything that runs away from him, cats, squirrels, birds. But he's also a big pussy, and won't generally mess with bigger animals. The day before, we had walked past a herd of bison, and he didn't utter a peep. So to see him just absolutely frantically aggressive and scared at the same time just baffled me, and it immediately started ringing alarm bells. Now, I don't know if it was feeding off my dog's energy, but I suddenly got this very deep sense of foreboding, like something was watching and hunting me. It instantly triggered my fight or flight reflex, mainly flight because I still couldn't see anything. Now, I'm 40 years old, grew up in the middle of a civil war. I was a bona fide gang member in my teens. I'm a U.S. Army infantry veteran, and I've been working as a security contractor since I separated from the service. In short, I've seen some stuff, and I have some faith in my fighting abilities. This was one of the few times in my life where I was really scared for my life. Legs wobbly, can't breathe kind of scared. I transferred my pepper spray to my left hand and drew my pocket knife into an overgrip on my right hand. I was kicking myself for leaving my Glock 19 behind in the truck. We were at a standoff for what felt like an eternity, but it was probably no longer than a minute. My dog, alternating between staring and barking, still with his hackles up, head down, teeth bared, all classic signs of aggression. I tried to coax him forward, but he wasn't budging. I was also reluctant to turn my back just in case it was a mountain lion, and I didn't want to trigger the attack, so I started retreating, face and body still facing forward. I started stepping backwards. My dog also started stepping backwards right next to me, still growling, still with his hackles up. We backtracked maybe 20 yards around this rock formation when my dog suddenly bolts back to the truck. You know that joke about two guys and the bear and just needing to run faster than the other guy? Well, I was the other guy. And the absurdly comical thought that passed through my head was, you little shit, you just left me to be eaten. My dog was gone. I wasn't as fast as him, and I couldn't remember the last time I ran, but I ran after him, downhill, full on scared for my life, sprinting, and another absurd thought popped in my head. If I trip now and accidentally stab myself with my own knife, my mom's gonna laugh at my funeral. Finally, the terrain opens up, and I can see my truck and my dog stopped and looks back at me, no longer in an aggressive posture. So I come to a stop and turn around, ready to fight whatever was chasing me. Nothing. Not a damn thing. I've never told the story to anyone else because it makes me sound like a big pussy, but the fear was very real. Even just typing this up and recounting this, I'm getting shivers and the tingly feeling, and I probably have elevated blood pressure right now. I've never seen my dog act that way before, so maybe I was just feeding off his energy and his fear transferred to me. I don't know. I can't explain it, but it's one of those few times in my life that I felt like prey. I don't go unarmed in nature anymore. I do have a license to carry, but very often when I'm out there, I didn't bother to carry a firearm. Prior to this incident, I thought the biggest threat I would encounter were other people, so I usually only carried in urban situations. Not that there's no bad people in the wild, but I figured the odds were in my favor. Not anymore. I'd probably carry an AR pistol with drum mags the next time I go hiking way out there. Back in 2007, I was taking a walk with my boyfriend down to my neighborhood park. I can't exactly remember how late in the evening it was, but it was dark out, probably around 8 or 9 p.m. The park is at the end of a cul-de-sac, and it backs up to a small wooded area and a creek. As we are getting closer to the park, we start hearing very unusual and loud sounds that were like a snarling, screeching ape. We figured it was just a coyote or a fox or something and continued towards the swing set area at the park. We sat down at a bench facing the wooded area when we started to hear those noises again and branches snapping. In the direction of the noises, we saw a treetop violently shaking as if a huge animal was on it, but we couldn't see a figure or anything at all. It was as if what we were looking at was an invisible force. I wanted to take a closer look, but my boyfriend pulled me away, and we started walking back towards the street. We stopped under the streetlight and listened some more. Then we watched the tree's motion jump from the trees behind the swing to a completely different side of the park. A different treetop was shaking, and we could hear the branches snapping and the weird animal noises coming from it. Never thought I would share this experience. I'll always wonder what it was. This happened in Grindstone, Pennsylvania, back in the 90s. I was probably around 8 years old, and my brother was about 5-ish. We lived on a couple acres in the country, with a farm on one side and your basic farm fencing with a thick forest on the other side. With growing up in the sticks and Dad being an avid hunter, us kids were taught to be aware of our surroundings and wild animals, things like that. Also, we were taught never to wander off without telling an adult. Not to trust strangers, the normal safety stuff kids are taught. Anyways, as a kid, I thought the woods were creepy and scary, There was no way in hell I would go into them by myself. So, I was playing outside with my little brother, and he went into the house. There I was, by myself, when I heard my mom calling for me.
Kimberly, come here. Kimberly, over here. Come here, Kimmy.
This was a little weird to me, because why would my mom be in the woods right now? I climbed over the fence anyways and started walking towards my mom's voice. Then, out of the blue, I felt like I was being watched and got this bad feeling. I started to wonder how my mom got into the woods without going past me. You know, thoughts like that. So, I turned quickly and ran back to the house where I found my mom at the kitchen table and my brother playing video games in the living room. I then asked her if she called for me, and she said no and asked me why. I told her what happened. This led to us being told to stay inside and play inside for the rest of the day. I'm now in my early 30s, and I've asked my mom about this incident, and she still swears that she never called for me. There's something about this situation that still really bothers me to this day. Hey all, I'm not going to provide the exact location for this, as this happened on the trail that my mom and I walked the dog on every day for the last 10 years. It was pretty close to our home. I live in a rural area of the Pacific Northwest, and so there are a lot of trails just outside of town that bordered on a lot of forest. This was one of those, but it was probably the biggest trail in my town. It was actually an access road to some stuff, so it was about 10 feet wide and gravel. At the time I briefly went missing, I was about 10 years old, and I had walked the trail every single day for 3 to 4 years. My mom was with me, as was our dog, an 85-pound Rottweiler lab mix. I had been warned not to go off the trail and wouldn't have normally, but there was a small sub-trail that had a rope swing over a creek. I loved to play there as a kid, and that day I crossed the creek on the fallen tree bridge to hang out on the side while my mom talked to her friend that she ran into. I was within sight of my mom, a clear view across the creek, when all of a sudden it was like things swirled. My surroundings were completely unfamiliar, and there were plants that shouldn't have been there. The wrong kind of trees, with the leaves at slightly the wrong point of the season. Of course, I knew what to do if I got lost. I hugged a tree and shouted for my mom. I was probably 300 yards away at the time, at the absolute most. She should have heard me, but she didn't. I wasn't there for very long before her dog came and got me. He wasn't a very smart dog. With all love, saying he was dumb as a bag of rocks would have been an insult to the rocks. He also didn't like me nearly as much as he liked my mom. Total mama's boy, and would have stayed near her, but he calmly walked up to me, nuzzled my hand so it was on his head, and walked me back to the creek where I could see my mom. I thought I'd been gone for 15 minutes or so, but apparently it had been an hour plus, and multiple people were looking for me, including walking directly on the path I had never left. I'm not sure if this is the right place, but I've held this story in for the last 6 years because it sounds crazy, and I got told not to talk about it. I went camping 6 years ago with a now ex-boyfriend of mine. The campsite we picked was beautiful. We were able to drive up through some small trails. The spot we picked was next to a hiking trail that weren't very far from the natural hot springs and a huge waterfall. We were in the middle of nowhere. Absolutely no one was around us. We set up our camp next to the car, went hiking, soaked in the hot springs, came back, and had dinner. It was all very normal until we woke up the next day. I need to give some context of how we slept that night so you can understand my confusion. Before we went to sleep, I put our food cooler and stereo that we had brought into the car and locked it. I put the keys in my front pocket of my backpack and put the backpack next to my sleeping bag on the far side of the tent, away from the door of the tent. My boyfriend, at the time, slept nearest to the door of the tent with his gun next to him. We woke up in the morning and I felt fine. I slept hard from the inside of the tent and everything seemed normal. When we got out, our campsite was absolute chaos. The fire pit we had made was ruined. The cooler had been thrown, and the food was scattered all over the place. The stereo was smashed to pieces, laying next to a tree. All the car doors were open, including the trunk. We stood there for a minute, in silence, just taking everything in. The woods felt off now. It was quiet, and not the beautiful campsite that we saw yesterday. Everything about those woods felt wrong now. My ex accused me of not locking the car doors the night before, and that an animal had got to our stuff. I promised that I locked it, and went in the tent to grab the keys from my backpack, but they weren't there. I found them later on the ground, right next to the car. We quickly threw everything into the trunk and left. My boyfriend was quiet and wouldn't talk to me about what just happened. He finally spoke when we were almost home and told me that he had a dream the night before about someone kneeling over him in the tent, holding his gun, and just staring at him. When I tried to ask him more questions, he got quiet again and said he didn't want to talk about it and that we shouldn't talk about it anymore either. I tried to forget about it, but I just can't. Something really wrong happened to us in the woods that night.
Well, y'all, that is my time. I hope the child enjoyed. And, you know, to the few that called in, I'm looking at y'all and saying, oh, keep your company. You know, we was having conversations and saying stories and things like that. Y'all are freaking hilarious. That's all I'm going to say. I know some of y'all was like, Raven, you should do a story talk, girl. I'm a poet, not a story writer. I'm going to lead it to the novelist. Like the real, like, true blue best-selling novelist, like Stephen King. I ain't talking about the ones that's pretending to write books and shit. But, yeah, make sure you tune in tomorrow. Same time, same place. Y'all know the vibe. Nothing but positive vibes from this end. But before I leave y'all, you know, I have to leave y'all with, you know, the thought of the night. It wouldn't be me if I didn't leave y'all with the thought of the night, right? Right. So my thought of the night is this. Never get upset with people who try to duplicate the things that you do or say. Just be flattered. Because at the end of the day, they could try to duplicate and even emulate the things that you do. But the real thing will always be better. So with that being said, love, peace, and blessings. Pray before you play. I love you. And good night.